Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
The following is a presentation of the Four Center podcast feed.
From the center of the galaxy, this is Force Center, a show about Star Wars, pop culture, and the ultimate adventure, life itself. I'm Joseph Scrimshaw.
And I'm Ken Napzok.
And I'm Jennifer Landa.
And this episode is named Phil. No, this is our Cues of the Everything episode. This is where we take questions about Star Wars, pop culture, the ultimate adventure, life itself. This particular episode, we got a couple of really great Star Wars questions I'm excited to dive into. We also want to let you know that, as always, today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/forcecenter. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, MP3 player, and probably other things you can put on your head. But we don't know, so we're not going to speak up about that. This episode, we are recommending Kenobi by John Jackson Miller. Hey, a Kenobi season 2 wasn't announced, but this book exists. It can't be taken from us. And you can download your free audiobook today by going to audibletrial.com/forcecenter. One more time, that's audibletrial.com/forcecenter for a free audiobook. We don't just have Q's, we also have A's. including announcements. Jennifer, do you want to tell the people about Jedi Beak?
Yes, I have a show coming out on our YouTube channel. It's the Jedi Beat, which I did release several years ago, only in audio form. Now I'm adding pictures, moving pictures. I re-recorded it. It's going to be a lot of fun, kind of a documentary Star Wars style to it. And it launches on February 19th, next Monday.
Yeah, yes. And thanks to all the patrons who made this possible. It was a goal a while back, and we reached that goal. And now we're going to have 5 episodes of Jedi Beat. They'll be dropping every Monday, like Jennifer said, starting on February 19th. We also have 007 Center. Ken, you want to talk about that?
Yeah, thank you to our Patreon supporters. You know, I'm going to use buzzwords. As the creator economy changes, direct-to-consumer support is more important in these changing times. What that means is we launched a wonderful new series we're very excited to get to called 007 Center, and Joseph and I sat down to go into a deep dive discussion on the first Daniel Craig Bond film, Casino Royale. We're going to look at the Daniel Craig Bond films. Will we go beyond that? Is Dr. No in our future? Well, maybe you can help decide that. This is available on our Patreon page at patreon.com/4center to all of our Patreon supporters, our patrons. Just join up. You'll get it. It's part of the membership there. Or if Patreon on a monthly level isn't for you, that's been the case, or you just want to support, you just want to hear it, you can go, as Joseph said earlier in this week's episode, I love a la carte. You get a taco, or you can go to the shop at patreon.com/4center to buy the audio version of the 007 Center Casino Royale for $3, or the video version, like our faces, $5. $2 more for my face. You don't know what beanie I'm wearing. You don't know if the value's there. The episodes are out this month. Hope to do the monthly based on the reactions and the need and the interest and all those good things, all those businessy words. But we're very happy to be discussing some of our favorite pieces of art, the Daniel Craig films.
Yeah, and thank you to the patrons who have already, as we released it, the morning we released it, which is when we're recording now, have already had some nice and thoughtful comments. So thank you so much for going on the 007 adventure with us. What? I do like that we charge $2 more for the video because it's like $1 a face. And if we ever do one of these episodes where Jennifer joins us, it's going to be $6. So it's going to be $1 per face.
Yep.
Well,
love that.
Well,
the face characters at Disneyland get paid more than the fuzzy characters because you see their face.
Really?
Yeah.
Isn't it like far more difficult and physically dangerous to be a fuzzy character?
Yeah, it's just more physically draining, absolutely, and heat-wise, yeah. But it's based on height for those characters, whereas it is based on your actual face for the princesses and Gaston.
Okay. Well, we're going to re-record our deep dive Casino Royale episode with animal heads on, and it's going to be so cheap. Anyway, it is time for our cues and cues of everything. Our first question comes to us from Lightspeed Bear, a fuzzy character.
Love it.
Lightspeed Bear says, "Hey, Forrester Center, I was hoping you could help me through a recent frustration of mine. The Death Star Trench Run and Battle of Endor were seminal moments for me growing up. They're what got me into Star Wars in the first place. I've always thought that pilot stories and starfighter action were one of the core pillars of the franchise. But lately, since the Disney Plus shows, it feels like that sort of storytelling has been lacking, with Lucasfilm choosing instead to focus mostly on Jedi, Ahsoka, Kenobi, Acolyte, Tales of the Jedi, and Bounty Hunters, The Mandalorian, Book of Boba Fett. Rogue Squadron and Rangers of the New Republic would have likely filled this gap nicely, but they both got shelved. Do you yourselves feel this vacuum of pilot stories? And if so, do you miss them? I'm a regular watcher of Star Wars Explained, and it often feels like a large proportion of community questions or super chats they receive are Jedi or clone related. I understand the prequels are all the rage at the moment, with a big chunk of present-day fans being prequel kids, but do you feel this sidestepping of starfighter pilots is harming the fandom in the long run? Carson Teva, Antoc Merrick, Tally Linter, and Snap Wexley are great, but in my opinion, seem to generally be consigned to an afterthought amongst fans and, by extension, the franchise itself. I'd love to hear what you think. Does Star Wars need more balance when it comes to what was once a major part of the franchise? Thanks for all you do." Thank you for the great question, Lightspeed Bear. And this is one that does come up decently often, and we haven't had a chance to have like kind of a bigger conversation about it. So I'm thrilled. I have no idea what Lightspeed Bear's age is, But I think the question is posed from whatever age Lightspeed Bear was when they first encountered the original trilogy. I think it's poised from this interesting original trilogy perspective. So I want to start with that. Ken, do you feel and did you feel growing up with the original trilogy that because of the Death Star Trench Run, Battle of Endor, Battle of Hoth, that fighter pilots and big battles were one of the pillars of the franchise growing up?
In general, yes. And I love this question. It actually kind of jogged my own soul a little bit to be like, yeah. You know, you remember the early days of Force Center Joseph? I would keep screaming war over the lore for me, meaning Jedi are great. But I like the big battles. I liked being on the playground and acting out like I was taking down a walker. It's kind of what brought me into the franchise. So I actually, this is a fascinating question and thought. But going back to that time, too, I don't know what the difference was now, because you got a lot of great characters here that we celebrate. Carson, Antok Merrick, Tally Lencher, I'm a big fan of Snap Wexley. So they're there, but maybe it's, you know, the Rogue Squadron, the X-Wing games, even the TIE Fighter game. Maybe you spent more time from inside the cockpit, quite frankly, from almost a military perspective on the franchise. It was a galactic civil war at the time that we were diving into. So that's why as the franchise has moved on and we've spent more time with other characters, I don't know if I agree that it's slighted or it's harmful, but I definitely paused and went, yeah, you're right. There isn't the Antok Merrick series. There isn't that.
Yeah. Yeah. Jennifer, growing up with the original trilogy, did you feel like the fighter pilots in the space battles were one of the core identifying things of Star Wars?
Yeah, I do. And I also remember the X-Wing book series was really popular and really big, and I couldn't get into it. I tried to read it, and I don't know why. I liked, you know, in video games, but for some reason the books didn't really grab me. But I actually feel like the sequel trilogy did pick up the mantle with Poe Dameron and, you know, mentioning. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I don't feel like that. I think one of the challenges, though, and maybe one of the reasons why they haven't focused on it as much is because because of budget. Going back to budget, you know, with space battles, starfighters, you need a bigger budget, a cinematic budget. And since everything's on Disney Plus, maybe you can't really do the types of things that you would need to do to make it look good. I think that Patty Jenkins' movie would have been amazing. Obviously, we don't know what's really happening, if it's ever happening, right?
It seems pretty dead, on the noddish side right now.
Yeah, right, exactly. But, you know, you never know. Anything's possible. The point is, I think that there are some practical challenges, which is why we haven't seen as much of it. But I think that the fandom is still there. I think that people do love those stories because it is synonymous with Star Wars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think growing up for me, I think for at least being alive in the 70s and 80s, the fighter pilot stuff was part of the huge revolution of, turns out, space fantasy and pulp storytelling can look really good. Because that was a part of the stigma, not just on the genre of not just these are fantasy stories for kids kind of attitude towards pulp storytelling, but that, you know, outside of some amazing monster, you know, effects, it was a flying saucer on a string. And that was the space battles were part of the revolution of Star Wars. And I think that maybe put a real emphasis on it as well as the storytelling. The other thing that I think is maybe in the original trilogy and then supported by books and the video games that we haven't seen as much of, is the distinction between a space battle and focusing on pilot characters. Just individuals. Even if you never read the books, even if you never played the Rogue Squadron video games or all the various X-Wing TIE Fighter video games, if you just watch those three films, it's the same group of dudes having It's you know, Rogue Squadron and Red Squadron. They have the different names, but it's the same pilots. It's the same group, and they have a big battle each film. If you include Battle of Hoth, and I feel like even in the prequels, you got cools. You've got the Naboo fighters, and you've got a big space battle in Kenobi versus Jango Fett in Attack of the Clones. You have the kick-ass opening of Revenge of the Sith. But there isn't, I think, that same sense, which maybe Lightspeed Bear is talking about, of a pilot story where we're invested with these group of people where that's their main thing. Like, Poe's a pilot, and we make a big deal out of it, but he's also lots of other things. We don't just know him as the pilot telling the pilot's perspective. Go for it, Jennifer.
I think one of the challenges is that we have to think about who the creator was, George Lucas, who grew up during a time of wars, right? Mm-hmm. And so having that personal connection of your family member going off to war, being a pilot, right? I think that there's something that nowadays is it doesn't, I don't know, maybe some of these creators, it's just different stories that they're telling. I feel like there's a historical aspect to why the original trilogy is the way that it is and why the prequel trilogy is focusing on a different political aspect. So I don't know. I think that that could be part of it.
I think it's interesting to bring up the prequels. I think I felt what Lightspeed Bear is talking about during the prequel run of 99 to 05, where you had Bravo Squadron, the Naboo fighters, but we didn't spend a lot of time with them. I don't remember a ton of the action figures. I know they existed, but and the N1 Starfighter was cool, but you weren't on the playground going, hey, y'all want to reenact? And, you know, of course, at that point, I was like in my 20s, so maybe I shouldn't have been on playgrounds. Going, hey, kids, want to reenact the Battle of Naboo with me?
They don't let you do it in bars either, which is where I was hanging out then.
And this isn't a, hey, Lightspeed Bear, you just have a nostalgia glass. No, it's not that. It's just the prequel, the atmosphere changed. It was a different, like you just said, Jenna, I think it's a great point. It was a different aspect of it where, so much of the original trilogy was commenting on post-Vietnam and Vietnam, but also was directly drawn influences from World War II and the dogfights and maybe even some of the Aces in a way. So it just had that. And I was someone who did not spend a lot of time with those video games other than the TIE Fighter game, didn't read the original Rogue Squadron novels, but it just felt I spent so much time discussing Porkins, Biggs, Gold Leader, Red Leader, Wedge. And I think that does feel different than now, where I think it is in 7, 8, 9, I think it, and I think Rogue One, I think it's present. I mean, I was one of the people who cheered for Red and Gold Leader showing up in Rogue One and his press screening where only me and Jeremy Johns cheered. No one else did. Like, I think it's there, but maybe the feeling, and this is why I do really love this question from Lightspeed Bear, as it expands out or as we focus on other things, you know, Star Wars Rebels does have, you know, John Dutch Vander, but he's part of the episode as opposed to we're focusing on him and the bigger stuff and the lore and the Jedi and the underworld. The underworld's just a fun place to for people to crawl around in. So it does feel as though they are in the corner. They're there. We have Tally Lintra. Boom, she's unfortunately gone. We got Snap Wexler. He's gone. You know, like, and we don't spend as much time with them as maybe compared to what we're seeing right now. Where in the old days, I just don't, you know, EU aside, you didn't spend that time. They were just there in your imagination.
Yeah. Right. And I think they're, I mean, I think, Jennifer, I think you're right about the budget from the perspective of like doing a trench run or a Endor or the beginning of Revenge of the Sith, the Battle of Coruscant. Right. But we have actually had a lot of kind of hero characters having space battles. Like Mandalorians had a lot of space battles. Ahsoka had that one episode was pretty a ton of space battle. The one where Ahsoka gets out and you know, cuts down some of the fighters, you know, all that. So a lot of ship shenanigans, but to relate it to the original trilogy, that's more like you have a character like Han who is a pilot and he's a hero character and he's having cool adventures in the Falcon. Mm-hmm. But what Lightspeed Bear is talking about is something slightly different, which is a story of concentrated story of the pilots in a squadron leading that life and that community. And I think we see, it is tantalizing because, like, we literally see where they hang out when, you know, the Zeb episode, and we get to see a bunch of pilots sitting around having drinks, and it's almost tantalizing to be like, ooh, was that going to be Rangers of the New Republic, where we go into their lives and their relationships and the stakes and all that.
And for a pitch back to you, Jenny, like, we're also acknowledging Alphabet Squadron, the series that read. Right. It was at times very serious and in the weeds, but I really loved it. You and I, Joseph, never read the first one from that author whose name I just completely drew a blank on.
Alexander Freed.
Alexander Freed. Thank you. Of the troops on the ground in Hoth. There's that there. So those stories do exist. And the Squadrons video game, which kind of came and went, and I played it once, but it had that vibe. You know, that stuff's there. But I think, you know, if you'd launched a six-part Disney Plus series of – you know, going to Red Squadron, and it's the Battle of Endor from their perspective. I wouldn't expect them to do that, but I definitely, that's, I think the Lightspeed Bear's question jogged that part of my soul. Who's like, oh yeah, I did really love that stuff. I wouldn't mind that. Why am I not asking for that?
Yeah.
Yeah. That would be fun. I was resistant to seeing Top Gun Maverick. It was awesome. I'm like, can Star Wars do something like that? Again, that could have been Patty Jenkins' thing. Really on board for. I'm just so sad about that. But yeah, you're right. I don't know. It was a connection to the specific pilots that you're thinking, that you were mentioning, Joseph. Like, it's just like, yeah, our guys are hopefully women and other people, you know, everyone, it's all sorts of people. Yeah. Can join in on this fight, right? It's like, we're all in this together. There was some thrilling, like kid-like, where you're like, yeah, like we're all going to do this. But
yeah. I just, there's something to be said for, again, even to what you were saying, Jenna, it's like the original trilogy was a war. Mm-hmm. We were in a war, and the sequel trilogy era, like I think the escape, the retreat from Dakar to start Last Jedi is Rian Johnson absolutely going, we got World War II bombers, and I'm tapping into that DNA. But it was just this, you know, we didn't see the Resistance versus the First Order like we did in 4, 5, and 6. We saw it in different parts and different, and I think you got a big, giant, wonderful space battle in Rise of Skywalker, but. That's why it just feels like you don't have the tales of Snap. And again, I guess I'm doing comment protection. The Poe Dameron comic with the Black Squadron stuff had that vibe, that had that feel. It was there.
Yeah, I mean, and I think that's maybe a big part of it is clearly the pilot stories and the big space battles are an essential part of Star Wars, and they are represented in the modern era, but mostly in books. Comics, video games, and I think I can understand the hunger for anybody who like Lightspeed Bear of like some people are Jedi people, some people are bounty hunter people, some people, you know, have all these different ways in, and if your way in is the pilots in the big space battles, you feel underserved with live action, and then teased in particular by Patty Jenkins movie that is not currently happening. Yeah, go ahead, Jen.
No, I also wonder if there's an element where they might be hesitant about tackling those stories for like, I want to say propaganda, but it does kind of open up a can of worms that I don't know in this political climate how it would work out, you know.
You saw like in terms of, sorry, I cut you off, but like in terms of the Rogue Squadron, it's a story of warriors essentially, and how you handle that and how you approach that is something of concern. And I do think Star Wars, and I think this kind of even starts with the prequels, is it moves beyond just war, and it's talking about the conditions that brought us to war, the conditions that come after war. And so there's that bigger story, and the Jedi or who they are and who they are and how to be a Jedi in this time is important. Who's the underworld characters and who are they really like? And it all funnels into this bigger picture that the war is sometimes the byproduct of them. We're not spending just those time. I keep going back to like 4, 5, and 6 was their war pictures, right?
Yes, exactly.
They're war pictures.
Exactly.
And that's sometimes the vibe as well. And to your point, Jen, it's like, I've no inside knowledge, but it's like if Patty Jenkins sits down and her father was a fighter pilot and everything, so this isn't an anti-military thing for me. It's at all. It's just like, but how you address, what are you focusing on in those stories of these warriors of immense skill flying these ships and everything could be difficult to navigate.
Thank you. Yes, you articulated.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that there can be. I saw the original Top Gun once several years ago. Did not see it growing up. It, you know, so no offense to people who love it. If Mark Ellis is listening,
he watched it again this weekend.
Not saying anything bad about Top Gun or Coors Light or the Coors Light as a train ad that was on in the Super Bowl. But I'm aware of cultural discussion about, like, is this a recruitment ad for an existing military and then for you know, real issues in the real world right now? I feel like if Star Wars can pull off Andor right now, I feel like you can find a way to tell. I mean, Andor is deeply political.
Yes.
And hot button. I feel like you can find a way to tell it, particularly if you are really aware of this is not being framed as a recruitment ad.
Yeah.
But this is a story about the people who have found themselves in this circumstance. And some of them are true believers. And some of them just, my siblings did join the fighter pilot. My family's a fighter pilot. So now I'm a fighter pilot and I'm ambivalent. If you told it not from both sides is right, because the Empire is the villain. But if you were, if you spent some time with the pilots, you know, who were, you know, tricked into joining and begin to question, I think those are the stories like in Alphabet Squadron books that are really interesting when you get to know the pilots and they can have varied perspective on what they're doing and why. And, you know, is this worth risking my life every time? And, you know, I think a thing that seems to come up a lot in those kind of stories is I'm questioning the mission, but I don't question my desire to be there for my wingmates, because this is a story of sort of like family. Mm-hmm. And even when I have doubt in the mission myself, I need to be there for my loved ones. I think those are all the kind of things that make a story about pilots, squadron mates, really interesting. And I would love to see that on live action and raise the stakes for the cool space battle. Because if you know, if you're following this one kid who's real conflicted and she dies, and you feel that so much more than, like, you know, when Arvel Krynid goes for it in Return of the Jedi, you know, you're like, thanks, guy whose name I will learn 30 years from now, you know? But if you've been following that person and they're like, oh, and then they die, my God.
Saying a lot of things I love here, just this, you know, again, how to handle it and The Alphabet Squadron, they're great books. I recommend them to anyone. I say they're just, they're not hard reads. They're just, they're the thick reads. There's a lot going on and they don't always zip and they're not always light, you know, they're heavy. But everything you talk about is in those books and why I do really love them and love the characters. But you mentioned Andor season two. I don't expect Andor season two, you know, we know it goes up to the start of the Galactic Civil War. So it is not a war series, but definitely has a chance to have a little bit more structure going on in the rebellion and what it pulls from. And I wonder, you know, if we're going to see Melshi go from an escaped convict to a sergeant. That's an interesting thing to deal with the bigger picture and stuff. You know, Jen, you brought up, but just at your point of like, how and analyzing the path there. That could be, I'm curious to see and this is a pre-Andor 2 world we're recording in right now, how far the series goes towards the actual war that's coming.
The power of Andor season one was that it was the power of the people. It was the power of the community, the underdogs coming together to have an uprising. And so that's the way I think it could succeed in season two. If it becomes complicated for me, if it's like a government and they're organizing it, it just feels a little bit more like, oh, I don't know what we're trying to say. I think that I think Andor season two is primed to be able to tackle the subject well.
I think so too.
Quite frankly, a good spot for Antoch Merrick to show up.
And do some cool piloting. Big space battle.
Maybe he says, you know what? I'm going to grow a mustache. He looks at a young Biggs. I like your mustache. I'm going
to style.
Recast Biggs. Oh, no. It would be a fun discussion. Yeah, so I really hope that there are more stories of pilots. You know, we'll see if there is a Mando season four. I know there's kind of been back and forth, nothing fully confirmed, but how much would that rope in Rangers of the New Republic? Would that end up with Mando being on a mission with all the pilots that we've met who are hanging out in that cool pilots bar? That would be great. Be great to see it, you know, in the new Jedi Order movie, a new Jedi fleet having a big space battle led by Rey. That'd be cool. I really agree that it is something that
I like that
it's there in so many of the movies and television shows. Even Resistance kind of advertised itself as a pilot show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it had a lot of racing, but then it didn't end up kind of scratching that exact itch that Lightspeed Bear is talking about, I don't think.
That's a great point. I remember the day that was announced, and I think it was we're still working at Collider then. We had a great discussion on it. And without a doubt, and I'm sure it led to we had discussions here, but I just remember on that panel going, oh, we got a pilot show. Right. And took it as aces in war. And it was something different. And I really do love Resistance and Griff and all those good characters. But yeah, it wasn't a bait and switch. It just was like the initial reaction was, oh, we got a squad of pilots we're going to spend time.
Yeah. Yeah. So we'll be on Squadron Watch here on Force Center. Any final thoughts about this question?
I mean, justice for Tally Lintra.
Oh, yeah.
That's all I want.
That's right. Let's, I like Carson Teva in all of his jackets, but let's get him back into a cockpit. And with that, we are going to take a quick break. We'll be back in a moment.
Life is full of what ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
And we are back. we're heading towards our next question from Justin Jacobson. Justin says, "Hello there, Everything Center. It is I, Justin. I have noticed that a number of characters who connect with the light side of the Force usually have good relationships with scoundrels. Luke and Han, Ezra and Hondo, Leia and Lando, Omega and Phi, Finn and Poe. That's just a lovely little poem, Justin. Is this just a counterbalance to the authoritarianism of the dark side, or is there more to it?" Jennifer, where do you go with this one? Do you think there's more there?
I think it's an important life skill that they're teaching us to be able to deal with all different types of people who we don't necessarily agree with or even really what they stand for. I think that, all of these characters that you mention, you know, a lot of times they have a specific goal in mind, or they have something, a cause that they're fighting for, a greater good. So they have to deal with this person, right? The scoundrel side of it, to get something that's going to benefit people. And I think that that's something to remind ourselves, especially during this, very divided political climate, is it's important sometimes to talk with the people on the other side and find out maybe they can join our fight. Maybe not. Maybe it's a lost cause. Maybe we'll waste our time and energy. But you know what? It doesn't hurt to listen and to be open to dealing with different types of people. And rant.
No, I think that's a great rant. I think it's definitely where I go is seeing the possibility of good in everyone.
Yeah, exactly.
Because there are a lot of stories like this where the scoundrels end up saving the day. And then there are great stories where characters give somebody a try and they're like, well, you said and did awful things. Everyone around me warned me about you. I gave you a try and you continued to say and do awful things. And unfortunately, we cannot be pals. We have that life lesson as well. So it isn't just like get along with everybody, you know, and everybody's off the moral hook. It really is. Maybe people are more than what you see. Maybe if you're open to them, maybe if you understand their perspective, that there can be good common ground, not just everybody gets a free pass.
Right. Where are they coming from? Right. Exactly.
I do like that this conversation turned to Senator Susan Collins, and I'm okay with it. I'm good with that. side note I understand where you're coming from too, and I think sometimes people's needs can get trampled underfoot, and I agree with what you're saying too, Joseph. I'll give that fig leaf, but if you take it and break it and burn it, that's the answer. There is some of that inherent. I think this all to me goes back to Luke and Han being this template in the story. And I think without going into the very real world things right now, but as a kid, I reacted to it that way. This was the believer and the skeptic. This was two walks of life. This was like a Spin Doctor song, two princes competing for the hearts at the time, competing for the hearts of one. But it was definitely, it had that interplay that I just absolutely love, and I gravitated to it. You got Joseph, a Luke guy, me gravitating towards Han, and it's a great balance. And I'm not even saying that it was completely on purpose. It just worked, and it also had to do with the chemistry, and the charisma of the performers, including Leia in that picture, of course. And it's just it's a fun part of it. Before we even dive into the deeper stuff, that even beyond what we've already discussed, I just think it's a fun template.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I really agree with how much it's baked into the first film. And I bring it up often. I think it is one of the most important parts of that first film. And it's so foundational because it is, you know, Lucas and other filmmakers have talked about how much the films of the 70s had gotten very gritty and very real, and studies in anti-heroes. And he wanted to make something hopeful and optimistic. And I think it would be a lesser film if everybody was hopeful and optimistic and a bunch of good guys fighting the bad guys. But Luke refuses the call to action. And then having Luke be this young, optimistic, borderline naive guy who's like, I bet he's not that selfish. I mean, Leia certainly pokes at it, too. I think Leia has a little less hope for Han because I think she's more worldly than Luke by a significant margin.
Yeah.
But the fact that both Luke and Leia are so sure that you can't really be that selfish is a great way to sort of tell a story of optimism in a dark time in the late 70s there, mm-hmm. which I think goes directly to what you were saying, Jennifer, of giving people a chance of, yeah, you claim to be out for yourself, but maybe you'll really be there for the group.
Yeah, people can change. I hated the prequels. Absolutely hated it. I had, I think, raps dedicated to it. Anytime someone would ring it up, I would slam it. And then in talking with both of you, I now love the prequels. I cannot imagine myself thinking that when it first came out. People can change by, you know, you all spreading the good joy of the prequels. And if you hadn't been open to sharing that with me, or if I hadn't been open to listening to it, I would still be stuck in my ways.
Yeah.
Posting online rants. The prequels suck.
I remember one of your videos, Jen. I do remember one of them. In particular. That's part of the lesson too, what you're saying too. As someone who's changed dramatically the last few years politically and social awareness, I can tell you I wasn't fighting for the empire, but I could tell you I was like, I'm taking my prize money and leaving. And I think it's what you're talking about, Joseph, is so key to Lucas's story. So key of him analyzing, you know, while this is all happening, what are the dangers of not getting involved? What are the dangers of both sides? And a character like Han has good reason to be where he is now, especially if we've learned in additional storytelling. Out for himself is not necessarily just selfish from ego point of view. It's selfish from survival. Me and Chewie are in it, you know, and so he's that's why I always say I've gotten to some actually heated bar arguments of oh, I don't like Solo because he was a bad guy and they showed him as a good guy. It's like, you misread A New Hope. He wasn't a bad guy. That was the point. Vader is the bad guy. Tarkin's the bad guy. Han is not. And his soul's up for grabs. And the hope from Luke and the hope from Leia does lead to him, and I think Chewie probably yelling at him, to turn around. And it's something you've discussed. I know it's important to your view of New Hope, Joseph, is Luke is a chosen one, not the chosen, but he is a chosen one on a higher path. If Han doesn't come back and save the day, great shot, kid. It's in concert. And I think that's some of what's at play with all these characters.
It's an inherently democratic sort of story of the people rising up. Han is the people who the cruel galaxy has given him every reason to look out for himself, out of being pragmatic as well as egotistical. And I think that is so what can be so important about the hero scoundrel relationship that Justin is bringing up is that Lucas is so interested in the idea of we are all connected and we all, you know, need to be there for one another. I mean, I think Obi-Wan trying to convince the Gungans that they're form a symbiont circle, that relates directly to Luke moping around like, oh, I thought Han would change his mind. I thought he realized we were a symbiont circle. Like that, you know, what happens to one of us affects all of us. And the scoundrels are fairly uniformly like Sid, like the galaxy is what it is. I can't control it. It's not about feelings. I like you, Bad Batch, but I got to do what I got to do to look out for number one, because that's how the galaxy works. But the scoundrels always have the perspective of I got to look out for number one in Star Wars, just constantly questioning, like, do you absolutely have to be defined by looking out for number one, or can you take care of yourself while also taking care of others? And will maybe it make you stronger and safer in the long run to be a part of something larger and to be a part of a community? And a lot of these stories are about either scoundrels who fail to do that, scoundrels who look out for number one, but make an exception when they meet at least one person that opens their hearts a little bit. So I think it's a lot of playing with that sort of idea of symbiosis. We're all connected.
Yeah. Not dismissing somebody based on these bad choices that they're making. Why are they making these bad choices? Why are they doing that? And is somebody, like you're saying, opening their heart to take the time to talk with them can sometimes make all the difference for some people in life.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Ken, you said you had some other deep thoughts. Do you have some other?
I have deep thoughts on enchiladas and stuff, but I'm just looking at the list. And we're focused on Luke and Han because I do believe it's important. But like Omega and Fee and Finn and Poe and Ezra and Hondo, Leia and Lando are great examples. And I'm sure there could be more of just like it's an exchange of ideas, thoughts. Like Omega doesn't immediately, you know, turn Fee around, you know, and in fact, Fee's probably got some lessons for Omega. And I'm forgetting a lot of the details of the show right now in this moment. You know what I mean? It's just like, it's truly an exchange of personalities that form a strong bond. And that's what's interesting about all of them to me. You know, Poe and Finn and their interplay from the beginning. It is truly you need a pilot. you need me. We need each other. We need each other. And Han has absolutely got some lessons for Luke all the way through this and absolutely learns from him, and Luke learns from Han. Like that's what's there. And I love a lot of it. And Ezra and Hondo is such a wonderful connection, because it seems like everyone else in Ezra's group is like, why are you bringing your buddy Hondo around? And don't you know who he is? And Ezra's like, no, I know who he really is. You maybe all have lived with another version of him or someone, you know, I know him, and that's my buddy from the bar. And I think there's just something fun and important in all that there, just looking at the individual cases here.
Yeah. And he ends up in the final battle, you know?
Yeah.
I think that another element of this is in this sort of, looking at Star Wars from the filter of, it's often a coming of age story. And it's often the younger, more naive people who give the scoundrels a chance.
Yeah.
And I think a part of that is the scoundrels are the roguish older sibling of the Star Wars galaxy. They are knowing and galaxy-wise, and they often have information that I think the coming-of-age characters are coded as not being able to get from their parents, that they can only get a wider, fuller understanding of the galaxy by talking to the scoundrels. I think Fee, there's that conversation, Jennifer, you just saw it, of Fee explicitly saying, yeah, there's some things that maybe your brothers haven't taught you from their limited view. When you go to, you know, Jedi character where, you know, they can be a little bit, you know, more uptight and rigid in the way they raise the Padawans. And Padawans are naturally looking for scoundrels who can show them another side of the galaxy. That whole thing in Rise of Skywalker about Poe knowing shifty tactics from his scoundrel days, and, you know, Han having moves and hideouts and things that other people don't know about. It's such a, almost to me, from Lucas's past himself, I was given a suburban education. I know how to interview for a job and go to college, and I know how to put my hands on 2 and 10 on the steering wheel. And then I had some buddies who taught me about rock and roll and hot rods and this whole other side of life that's not in the sort of normal curriculum of raising a child, or at least back in the day.
I love that. I love that. Absolutely.
Like, yeah.
What you're describing is him meeting John Milius at one point in the 70s.
Yeah, basically. And yeah, the Ezra one I really appreciated that when I did a Rebels rewatch and it wasn't, you know, spread out over 4 years, that Ezra's whole thing is, I give almost everyone a try. I give Hondo a chance. I give Maul a chance. I give Space Whales a chance. And the wounded, guarded figures in his life are understandably trying to protect him. And they're like, for all of those, they're like, maybe do we have to give the whales a chance? What are you doing? You know, do we have to give Hondo a chance? We have to give Maul a chance. And he learns, he gets burned on Maul, but everyone else he's right on.
I love that about Ezra. If we were to do a deeper dive on Ezra, there's some of the great value. That's what I loved in the Ahsoka series of break. He's a breaker of the wheel character. All due respect to you, Khaleesi. He's a breaker of the wheel, and the Na'ti or you know, the Noti. I always say Na'ti because I think they're Na'ti turtles. The Noti. you know, that's the landscape is marauders attacking each other and taking from the bland and plundering, and he breaks it. He gives them a chance. He gives a new way a chance always. It's a powerful example in this connection we're talking about.
Yeah. Jennifer, how do you feel from a parent perspective of the idea that, you know, sometimes a naughty uncle has some value?
Yeah.
You want Hondo hanging around?
The 86, that idea. But there is something to be said about, like, with kids at school, and sometimes you see a kid and they can be kind of, not, I don't want to say problematic, but you see the seeds of a child that's maybe angry about something and they're taking it out on other kids, right? And you don't want your kid to put up with that. kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it's like, you know, you have to get along. You're all throughout your life, you're going to be dealing with people at your job or in school, where you're going to have to deal with all different types of personalities, and not everyone is going to be friendly. And you have to get along and figure out a way to protect yourself, but also get what you need, get the job done. And it's an important life lesson. It's just too pat to be able to say, oh, just stay away from them. Oh, just don't deal with them. You're going to have to deal with them. There's going to come a time where you have to. So you have to figure out the best way for you to deal with that type of personality. And sometimes it is just with an open heart and talking with them. And then when you get burned, saying, okay, now I don't want to be around you anymore. But
Yeah. Are you a mole or a hondo?
Right. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Any final thoughts on the value of scoundrels, Ken?
Love this discussion. I love these kind of conversations, especially ones that take you back to, you know, what you thought when you're watching Star Wars as a kid. And I couldn't have explained all these themes in 1983, but I got it. I got what was there. And also, I love that, you know, at one point, Jen sits down her daughters and says, look, if a space pirate and flying saucer comes around and you need to work with them, just approach them with an open heart, but a protective mind.
Yep. We all need a Hondo in our lives, but I think we all need a Rebels era Hondo in our life, because he's quite brutal in parts of the Clone Wars. So we don't need that.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. Any final thoughts from you, Jennifer?
It's an important lesson, too, that like all of us, I can identify with Han at some points, right? Maybe even with Hondo at some times. I don't know. But it's like they represent the humanity in us, and that we're not going to all be pious Jedi or evil Sith. There's the in-between. That's just the human existence, and it's an important life lesson.
Yeah, very, very important. Well, I feel like we wrote an instruction manual for children here today. We did. No, not at all. Anyway, that is our cues of the Everything episode. Thank you for the great questions about pilots and scoundrels. This has really been a classic fundamentals of Star Wars discussion. Ken, you want to let people know where they can find us?
Absolutely. We are on Twitter and Threads at Force Center Pod. Will we be on Blue Sky? We'll see. We'll have a company meeting about that. Sounds like we might need to. Facebook page is Force Center Podcast. Instagram as well. Don't forget, we're on YouTube. Subscribe over there and join that world. We'll have an update on our monthly live stream very soon. Podcasts available in a lot of spots. Just search. You'll find us. Merch available at tpublic.com/user/ForceCenter. Patreon.com/ForceCenter is where you can support us directly. And hit the shop over there. Even if you're not a member, you can pick up the first episode of 007 Center, the deep dive discussion of Casino Royale. Follow me at Ken Napsok or go to my website, kennapsok.com. Link there to things like the Moon Agers. We got some new remixes that we released. They're out there right now. A lot of fun. Joseph, where can they find you, sir?
Yeah, you can find me on most of the social media, but in particular, Blue Sky. I'm really enjoying it, so if you want to give it a try out, it's wide open. You don't need an invite code. You can just join Blue Sky and find me there. Joseph Scrimshaw is my handle everywhere. If you're in the Los Angeles area and you'd like to see the short horror film that I made last year with a bunch of great people, that film is called The Nightmare Adorable. It is having its Los Angeles and California premiere on Sunday, February 25th at 2 p.m. Ticket info is on all my social media and my website at josephscrimshaw.com.
Jen, take us home. I'm literally adding this into my calendar right now. Right now.
That's good. That's good. You can find my short form Star Wars videos and all things retro videos on YouTube at Jennifer Landa, Instagram, same name, and Jennifer Landa 1138 on TikTok.
There you go, my friends. All right. For all the pilots who are there and sometimes in a jiff gone, we'll see you next time here on Force Center.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.